Welcome to the Gamers Inn. Come on in, fill up the chair next to the fire. Looks like you've had a long journey. I can neither see nor hear, Ryan.
You know, it's funny, like, we didn't even think about it. It's like, don't worry, the Switch will be really easy. But then I realized, wait, she has to intro the show, and she has no idea when we go live.
That is so true, and I wasn't even sure that we had gone live, because when I do it, not that I'm saying you did it wrong, but when I do it...
I panicked.
I always count it down, so I say, okay, we're going live in 3, 2, 1, 20 seconds of intro music, and there was none of that. I thought your mic just died, so apparently we're live.
Hi, guys. Sorry. We're live. You weren't picking your nose. Don't worry. You're all good. I was, because I wanted to take away from the fact. I was like, well, you know, if I'm going to, like, surprise her, I might as well, like, have some fun with it. So when you upload it to YouTube, you'll be like, Ryan, picking his nose. Not true at all. How's it going? You're back. You're feeling better.
I'm back. I'm getting there. I'm about probably 85% or so.
Oh, good.
Which is better than where I've been for the last few weeks, so... I'm getting there. So thanks, everyone, for all your concern. And, you know, everything else is very, very, very nice to see and hear. And I have definitely missed podcasting. Like I said, I've been out for 2 weeks now, which is a really long time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so. We had some awesome guests on. We had Joel, and we had on the first week, and then we had James and Eric on the second week. We got to hear what's going up on across the pond. What happens when you have kids? Can you still game? Don't worry, that wasn't Joel.
No, that wasn't Joel.
Joel was talking to us about Batman and killing people. It was kind of weird, to be honest, all the conversations we had about people dying.
I don't know if that's better or worse, actually.
You're equating people dying to people having kids? Justin's not a kid person, I guess.
That might have come out wrong. Anyway,
I put words in your mouth. That's my fault. If Eric's listening, we love you. We love your kids. We got to see Thaddeus at the end of the show in the post show. Super cute. You'll have to take my word for it, chat room. But it was awesome. But I'm glad you're back, because now we can talk about Smite.
Oh man, so thanks everyone who filled in for me in some cases at the very last minute. I actually did/do have a viral lung infection, which is just about as fun as it sounds, and means that there's absolutely nothing I can do about it there, because I can't take antibiotics because it's not a bacteria, it's a virus, so I just have to wait it out. And for a really long time, I couldn't get through a sentence without coughing, which is kind of a prerequisite for podcasting. So, I was out of work for a week, and I had a fever for like 5 days, and it was fun times.
Is it the type of sickness that allows, like, I know the answer to this, but I'm asking for the chat room because they might not know, but is it the type of, you know, you're always like, man, I could use a couple days off. I got sick enough that I could play video games, but not so sick that I'm like, playing this is not fun. Were you able to enjoy some video games on your sick leave?
I was the not fun kind of sick for about 6 straight days. And I took that time actually to get caught up on a house, which is not all the way caught up, but I made it through about a season and a half. I watched a bunch of Supernatural too, but let me tell you, House, while you're sick, bad idea, because then I'm sitting there and I've got a fever and I'm coughing and I'm like, oh my god, every episode starts with a fever and a cough. I'm dying.
It was lupus, right? Is that?
It was always lupus.
It was always lupus. Autoimmune disease. Mm-hmm. What are the other ones? I watched like
Itis. It's like swelling of your veins or something like that. And they always think that they have at the beginning. Oh. Anyways, yeah, so it was good, and it took me a while, but then I was able to sit upright. It was actually better to sit upright, so then I started gaming. Oh, good. And the one big awesome thing about gaming and gamers in game night and all the rest of it is I don't have to talk. So I was able to keep up with game night while I was off, so that was great. Because, man, I missed you guys. I missed the fans. I missed you and the
wow, dog. You really were sick.
I know, right? I must still be sick. Hang on, let me check.
I was just Well, no, we're out of temperature going on. Oh, you know, we missed you at the end, too, and we kept your seat warm. Sometimes we had two people sitting on it at once. It kind of got weird there when James and Eric were sitting on each other's. It was good, though. Yeah, no, we had a lot of fun, and we're glad you're back, and we look forward to many an episodes now that you're back.
I feel like you look forward to rubbing my face in the fact that you kicked my butt at Mario Golf, which I don't know for a fact, but I'm kind of assuming because I don't think I actually got into the minuses.
What are you talking about? Mario Golf
tournament thing.
Did you actually get Mario Golf?
Yes, and I played. That's another thing I did while I was sick.
I had no idea that you bought Mario Golf. When did this happen?
Right around the time I got sick. I'm pretty sure it's like the harbinger of death.
You didn't tell me that. I was like, why is she talking about Mario Golf? Did she say Mario Kart? But I know she didn't get Mario Kart.
No, Mario Golf.
It's probably a bad time to tell you that I haven't played in 2 weeks. But I will play now that you're back. So you were in the tournament. So we need to bring the tournament back. Josh, let's get on it. Did Josh kick your butt?
I don't know. I couldn't see the scores, and I was going to ask you, because basically what I did is I bought Mario Golf, and I jumped right into the tournament.
Oh.
Bad news. There's no tutorial or anything. I was just kind of like, bang, 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 bang.
Yeah, there's a tutorial in the single player, and they get pretty, like, in-depth on how to play, but...
Yeah, but if you just jump right into a tournament with a code, then...
If you do that, yeah. Cool. Well, I'm glad you're playing that. I need to get back into that, because I was really enjoying its arcade... goodness. So you posted a minus. That's good. The way you find this,
good.
That's what you said.
Oh, no, I said I don't think I posted a minus. I don't think I got into the minuses. I'm pretty sure I was like par. Or anytime I was under, I had just as many holes that put me over. So it kind of bounced out around zero.
Well, I think that, I think what happens is to check your score is you go back into the tournament and check standings. And that'll tell you
that. And I'm wondering if that has to do with the fact that you organized the tournament. Does that make a difference? Because I couldn't find, and maybe I was just looking in the wrong spot, but I couldn't find tournament standings anywhere.
I'd have to look it up again. It's been a while, but I think that that tournament would have been too. I haven't started a tournament. We only did two tournaments, so that must have been a couple weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
Have you just played the tournament? Did you try a single player at all?
I played the tournament. I played it religiously for about 2 hours because I was like, I'm going to get the hang of this. Uh-huh. I played Tiger Woods. Damn it.
Yeah, I played the real arcade golf game.
Mm-hmm. Damn straight.
Because, you know, Tiger never Woods got the hang does of it. Mushrooms all the time.
at least never got to the point that I knew you guys had talked about your scores being like minus 10 and minus 17 or something. Yeah, no.
Mm.
Mm. You'd have to get a hole in one on like every hole to get that score. So I decided you're both just lying.
Well, I don't know.
Isn't that what everyone does with golf and fishing?
Maybe Josh.
It was this big. I got a hole in one.
I don't think I've ever gotten a hole in one. I got an albatross.
You got what is an albatross?
It's like one above an eagle. So you get par.
I didn't even know that existed.
Albatross is like.
No, isn't it like par, then birdie, then eagle? And you're saying there's one past that?
Yeah,
I thought
it was
like double eagle
something.
But you can get a double bogey. I thought they just doubled stuff. But so I guess like, eagle plus eagle equals albatross?
Similar
to boots plus boots equals faster boots.
It's American math, right? You're like a birdie. So, okay, it's a small little bird. Because hence the E at the end. And then you take two birdies, you add them together, and you get an eagle. And then you take two eagles, you add them together, and you get like an albatross, which is essentially just an eagle with a super mushroom. I mean, just a bigger eagle. And, you know, it's funny. There's no eagles in Mario Golf, like literal eagles. There's not even like an eagle character. It's really weird.
Yeah.
But I was really enjoying golf. So hopefully you get into the single player. You actually get to play as your me.
Oh, cool! I think I did import my me, but I never got really past that.
Well, I think you'll dig it. Did you enjoy the mechanics of it while you were playing the tournament?
It was pretty fun. I've kind of been fluctuating between finishing off Zelda when I get stuck in Zelda. Then I was going back to Mario Golf, and then I bought an iPad. So then that kind of took over my portable life.
That'll do it. An iPad will do that.
I was like, I can have Hearthstone anywhere. So then that kind of, yeah, I'm sorry, 3DS.
That's not good. Man, when that single player mode launches this summer, I am going to be all over.
Adventure mode?
Yeah, yeah. Naxxramas.
Yes, Naxxramas.
I did that actual dungeon once, and if it's
raid,
if I get yelled at, yeah, sorry, raid. If I get yelled at in Hearthstone as much as I did in that raid, then I'm probably not gonna. I'm gonna rage quit the game, just like I rage quit the raid. No, I'm just joking. No one was yelling. It was like we went through it like when we were 10 levels ahead of it. So it must have been like at the tail end of Wrath. And it was like a level 70 dungeon or something at that time. This wasn't the raid version, I think. I don't know. WoW sort of
you don't know what you're talking
WoW
about.
WoW sort of just does this in my brain because it's been like I played it so much, but so long ago. but I'm looking forward to Hearthstone and seeing if Naxxramas pulls me back in.
I think it's going to be really fun. I mean, they're going to have a big influx of new cards. They've released some of the class cards so far, and I don't know, it's really looking pretty fun. There's some complicated mechanics, which I think is good. I think it's good to mix up the game, so I think we'll have to see how it all shakes out, but I like the releasing one wing at a time sort of thing, and each has a different purchase price, and all their, like, I really think that it's going to be interesting. It's going to be fun.
Now, I know we're contractually obligated by A-Move TV to save, you know, 90% of your Hearthstone talk for the Angry Chicken. So I'll use up the rest of this time to try and get an answer for Bliven's question in the chat room. He's wondering, like, when they're going to announce this pricing structure. And the reason I'm bringing it up and possibly ruining our contract with A-Move is because I want to know, too. He says to save up his gold or whatever. Now, do we know, like, how much these wings... The first wing's free, and there's five
first
wings
wing
total,
is free.
Right?
Yeah.
Okay.
So, I think... and they haven't announced anything, so this is just my own personal kind of guess. Since you get cards when you beat a wing, and when you buy a wing, you just unlock it. So, it's not like Arena, where you have to pay every time you go in.
Right.
You just pay a price, and then you have it. Mm-hmm. So I don't think that pricing structure that was released in China is really going to be that far off, in that I think it's going to be around 900 gold per wing, I think, with exception of the first one. So I think you're probably looking at around 3,000 to 4,000 gold for the whole entire thing. But I also think that you're going to get gold as part of running through the adventure. So I think that you'll earn some going through, and then when you beat it, like, it might even be like the first time you beat the first wing of Naxx, you get a bonus 100 gold or 150 gold or something, which would then kind of, in a way, bring the price down of the next wing. So I think we're looking at somewhere between 750 and 1,000 gold per wing. Okay.
So 750 and 1,000, how does that translate to real world money? Because I'm kind of like...
It is... I think it's $2.99 because I've never paid real money to go into Arena. I always pay in game gold, and it's 150 in game gold to go in Arena. And I'm pretty sure it's either $1.99 or $2.99. I can't remember in real money, which, I mean, it's going to affect my math. So chat room, you can just tell me if you guys remember off the top of your head how much it is real money for Arena. But I think it's about like 2 to 1. So, I mean, it's so much easier to just grind the gold, and you can do that. And a lot of people have done it starting in the past. It's $2 for Arena. Okay. So $1.99 for Arena. Thank you very much, Bliven, because I couldn't remember. Cause again, like I said, I haven't actually ever done that. I always use my in game gold. So
that's a lot of Mooney for one wing, then. That's, you're looking it at is, like $8.
Yeah. But again, where you're getting new cards, and it's not a constant entry fee, it's a one-time, like, purchasing of the actual wing, and that's it. So I think where it's a one-time purchase price, if you add it all up in real money, like if you think, okay, so 150, so let's say if it's equivalent to 4 arena runs for a wing, if we're going with the, 6 arena runs, 900 gold. So 6 arena runs, so 6 times $1.99, so $12, that would be very, very close to DLC pricing on any other game. And if you add them all up, so 12 plus 12 plus 12 plus 12, then you're up at 48, which is expensive. Mm-hmm. But like I said, I think you're going to get gold for each wing, which will in a way kind of reduce the price if you choose to spend your gold on the next wing. Mm-hmm. So I think it's going to be around $48, which an expansion, old WoW expansions were $40 and Warlords is $50. So
I think
it really, it wouldn't be out there too much in terms of normal expansion pricing and normal DLC pricing to be 900 gold a piece. Yeah. So I think
Blizzard's not stupid. They're not about to shoot themselves in the Hearthstone foot. Like they're looking at this and they're saying, shit, this leaked. That sucks. We didn't get a chance to talk about X, Y, and Z that makes that price make sense.
Yeah.
I saw the leak thing and I was like, that's crazy. No way that alone is true.
Well, I think the way that the leak was, I guess, translated is the best way to say or interpreted was that it was 900 gold for the first wing, 1,800 for the next wing, 27 for the next wing. And I think that was a total. I think it was like $900 per wing. So by the time you get to the end, you've spent, or not $900, 900 gold per wing. So by the time you get to the end, you're at 3,600.
That makes sense.
As opposed to it going up, like doubling and tripling every time. So I think it was a running cumulative total of in-game gold. So that's what I think anyways. Yeah. But we'll see. I mean, they'll give us a pricing structure probably when they give us a release date. Right now, they've said summer, and we're, you know, a few weeks away from that. So I think we're going to see it early July, and I think we'll get a pricing structure really, really, really soon, because I think we're going to get a release date probably in the next week.
Good. Well, you know, I'm kind of impressed. Val says that we're speaking Chinese, which, I mean, I had no idea I learned how to speak Chinese. But seriously, she's saying you're speaking Chinese because I don't play this game. Well, Val, you really don't have an excuse. This thing is now on the top three leading platforms out there. You got iPad, you got Mac, and you got PC. And I know you have a Mac, and you better. And I know you have a Battle.net account. So if you have a Battle.net account and you have one of three of those platforms, you can play Hearthstone. And be just
and it's super fun.
Like us. Awesome.
Yep. It is super fun. It's free to play. So it does have you can either spend in-game gold that you earn through daily quests, or you can spend real money to buy packs and you slowly build up your card collection and then you play against your friends, or you can play on the ladder, or there's another mode called Arena, and all of it together makes a really awesome game called Hearthstone. And if you want to hear more about Hearthstone, then we do a Hearthstone only show every Monday night, and that is The Angry Chicken. So if you guys are really interested in Hearthstone, jump over there. And I have been, because Oblivion in the chat room saying they said 6 weeks, like 8 weeks ago. True. Sorry.
You're good.
I've been out of it. Like, I've been on cough medicine for 3 weeks. I've been loopy and crazy and out of it. So there might have been news that came out that I missed, because I literally, like, didn't get out of bed. Like, so, I mean, like, I might be totally out of the loop and they might have given more information. So this is just everything off the top of my head. But I'm sure that we are going to be getting it very, very shortly. And the pricing model, I think, we'll get before, because I think they're going to give us a little bit of a ramp up before they actually release it to give everybody a chance. Like, lots of people, like I said, have been saving gold, but I think that it's going to take an actual price in order for everyone to really get hyped about it and to start preparing, I guess.
Yeah.
So anyways, that's
doesn't drop stuff, you know, they lead up to it usually.
Yeah.
And the game is super accessible, just in the sense that I was actually talking to my fiance Ashley, and her younger sister, who is not a big gamer, Ashley says to me, "Do you know this game with cards called like Hearth Rock, like Rock Hark, or no Hearthstone
Rock Hearth?"
I'm probably injecting humor into this. She's actually fairly knowledgeable when it comes to games, like Hearthstone. I'm like, yeah, Hearthstone. It's like a card game, but Warcraft. Why do you ask? It's like, well, Adriana's playing it. And I'm like, Adriana's playing a she knows that's like related to World of Warcraft, you know, the game that she's made.
She knows she's a nerd now, right?
Yeah. Yeah, you know you're a nerd now. And all of a sudden she just sprouts nerdy glasses. You know, nerd rage. So it's super accessible. And if the battle.net/Blizzard thing turns you off a bit, because they have a lot of hardcore games, it's certainly not that game. It's very mm-hmm. accessible and a lot of fun. So
absolutely.
Hearthstone, so, there. We're good. Hearthstone talk.
Yeah, really. We haven't done that in a while.
No, we're usually pretty good. But you haven't been on the Angry Chicken for the last couple of weeks. So, you know.
That's true. I had to get it out of my system. It's all building up.
We're working you up. We're getting you ready and prepped for Monday.
It's my warm up.
Big show. Yeah. Crack your knuckles. Get your iPad fired up. But you did get an iPad and you were playing Hearthstone, so that's good.
Yeah. I worked up from Hearthstone to other things. So I played a lot of Smite, both on game night, and I spent a lot of time practicing. I'm getting kind of good, guys. Getting kind of good. And then I also played WoW. I farmed like so many achievements. I played WoW for like 2 days straight, like literally like just woke up and was like, well, I can't do anything else. So I'm just going to sit in my chair and play WoW because anything else was too. There was a time where playing Smite was too exciting and I would get worked up and I'd go into coughing fits. So I just had to like sit back. I was like running like level 40 dungeons just to get the, oh, yep, you did this achievement. And like, just because I was like, well, I'm just one-shotting everything. I'm looking around, getting achievements. This is fun. I really like the ding achievement thing. So it was relaxing.
Yeah. Achievements are super easy to farm because it's like, which like set of 15 for these 10,000 achievements do I want to focus on today? And it's really easy to get lost in that map of just...
Yeah, I think I'm somewhere in and around 5,000 achievement points now, which considering I've only been playing for 2 years is quite good compared to some other people. Like, I think I'm coming within like probably... I'm at about 75% of some of the people I know have been playing for 8 to 10 years. And most of the stuff that I'm really missing are the raid achievements. And so I'm trying to like get people together so I can get all my raid achievements. That's good. Being a WoW completionist is...
It's not smart, intense. Basically. Like, let's put it in perspective here. Like, that's like...
I'm pretty sure there's actually... Game. There's 2,000 achievements, I think, give or take 100.
Yeah, see, you know, like, Microsoft, I think, they were kind of the ones that made achievements into, I mean, I'm sure achievements existed before them, but they're the ones that turned it into something like a phenomenon, and I think setting the bar at a certain amount of points and a certain amount of achievements per game made it so you actually could complete a game, and Sony followed suit with their trophy system, and I actually just earned my first platinum, which is essentially your 100% on Second Son, and... I've never been one to sort of be a completionist. I tried, and it really just ends in tears because you end up having to play the game multiple times, and sometimes we just don't have time for that. But for some reason, I made it through twice on Second Son. I have to play through Mass Effect once more on hardcore to get them all. I don't know.
Is that it? Why haven't you done it already then? God.
I was having this conversation with somebody on Twitter. I think it was Brandon. About playing through Mass Effect like more than once, and it is totally a game you could play through more than once, and I haven't done it. You know, BioWare games are very replayable, and with Dragon Age coming out and possibly getting a mention of the next Mass Effect game at E3, I'm hoping that might, you know, encourage me to replay these games. I've always felt like I want to do it, but I never sit down and actually do it. Have you ever replayed a title before, like, in preparation for a sequel? Asking the tough questions.
I know, I'm trying to think. Mass Effect, I think... No, I didn't replay it. Crap. I don't know now. Maybe. There's lots of games that I've replayed over and over again, but I don't think that any of them were actually in preparation for a sequel. I've gone back into games. Like, I went back into Oblivion before Skyrim came out. I went back into Bioshock 2 before Infinite came out. Stuff like that, but never full-on replayed in prep.
I don't think I have either. And, you know, I'm kind of thinking of trying it with Dragon Age. I'm a big fan of that series, and that series has been going on sale like crazy. You don't have it on PC, do you?
No.
No, you
have it on Xbox. I have it on Xbox, and I only made it about an hour in because the character emotes were driving me nuts.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you should check out the Origin store. I think the PC versions have gone on sale a couple times. Two is definitely worth playing, especially if you tried one and didn't enjoy it, but the console version is kind of inferior to the... This is one of those times where you can be a PC snob.
Yeah.
it was not a good port, but yeah, so have you been playing anything else besides like sniping Mario Golf?
Not really, but I did just look up my armory and I have 5,555 achievement points.
So a little more than 2,000.
Yeah. Well, no, there's 2,000 achievements, of which I have 555. So I'm a quarter of the way through, 26% actually. But achievement points, which is like each achievement is worth something different. So some of them are worth 5, 10, 15, 25, 50, depending on what it is you have to do. And so I have 5,555 achievement
points. Man, what are you doing here?
I know.
Get back in there. You're so close. You got like so many, like a billion more to go.
yeah. Well, a good 1,500. No big deal. No big deal. Yeah.
So what? Like, I don't know if we talked about your character in Smite. You've kind of switched from Ribbitits, Neith, I guess, for the people joining
Neith,
us.
If you want to get all fancy like.
Yeah, I mean, I think she kind of enjoys her nickname we gave her, considering how much she dances around. But you've been playing Freya.
Yeah, so I've been playing Freya a lot. I've been playing PvP with Freya, and I like that. I've tried out probably about 10 in the practice joust mode, which it kind of ticks me off. It's always against Ra, so you never get any experience of playing against a different god. Mm. It's the same dude every time.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. I thought maybe they would match you up with someone of a like similar class, or maybe like the direct counter, or you know, something to just kind of like give you a better experience. But it's always the same hero every time, so or god every time. So, but yeah, I've been playing Freya. I've been playing Aphrodite, although I haven't played her in a while. And then I tried, is it Ymir, the big ice guy?
Yeah, Ymir.
Yeah, and I find I don't like melee characters, and that's pretty much true of every single game that I play. I don't like just melee, especially I find in Smite is my only real MOBA-type experience. And I find that when the entire point of the game is to not get hit for the first, like, 20 minutes, if you're a melee person, like, you're just dying all the time. And then you're feeding them, and then you're spending so much time being dead. And I'm just like, this isn't fun. I'm supposed to be all tanky, and you don't get tanky until, like, level 15 out of 20, so...
It always feels like with those melee characters that when other people play them, they're just so much better than you. And when I play them, I'm the same way. I'm always getting sniped. I can never get in close enough to do enough damage.
Yeah.
I much prefer the ranged characters as well. It's mainly because I can run away and actually survive as opposed to trying to run away and just getting, like, killed.
Yeah, I tried, basically what we were doing there, I feel like it was last weekend, last Saturday night maybe, is playing assault mode, which is actually growing on me because it's pretty much, I was playing with Sith Lord Bane and then Josh and his sister jumped in for a while, and I mean, we played so much. So much.
I think I was like, there for a couple hours. And
yeah, I think I played like 15 hours that day.
it was really shocking for me to go away for dinner, or I can't remember what I was doing. Maybe spending time with my family. I can't remember.
What's that?
So I come back and I'm like, you guys on Skype still? And he's like, same call. And I'm like, well,
yeah.
So I get back into the same call and I'm like, you guys haven't moved, have you?
Nope.
It's been a while since I've experienced that kind of game, and we played pretty late, like had a couple beers and playing Smite. It's really good.
I think I was up, and I mean, and honestly, last Saturday, I still couldn't talk enough. Like, I still couldn't podcast, But I was getting so frustrated at being tired and coughing all the time and not being able to do anything. So I was like, screw it. I am just going to play with my friends and I'm going to stay up late and I don't even care. And then I felt like shit for like 4 days.
You rocked it. You. I think you might have even been up later than I, but...
I think I was up until, I feel like it was like 3 o'clock in the morning or something. Yeah. Really, really stupid.
Josh says it was a 9-hour Skype call, which,
yeah.
I mean, sorry, Microsoft. We might have taken your servers down that day. Yeah. I mean, 9 hours on Skype is unheard of.
Yeah, and I mean, and I wasn't playing with Josh the whole day. I was playing with Sith Lord Bane for a good 5 hours before that.
Ooh, that's a lot of smite.
Yeah, I basically like woke up in the morning and I was doing some practice matches, and then all of a sudden he logged on and was like, "Hey, do you want to come play?" And I was like, "Yeah, dude."
Of course.
Yeah. So
they've been doing really cool weekend events. They had the event last weekend was like, all the gods are unlocked, essentially like as if you had bought or purchased the unlock, the $29.99.
Mm-hmm. Exactly, yeah. So it was like a preview of what that's like. So it's fun. I mean, I already have it, so. But yeah,
you do have it. I have not done it yet, although mind you, with that epic, you know, I know you're shaking your head. With that epic gaming session on the weekend, you'd think that would be clue enough, but I just... You know, I'm digging the rotation, and I haven't had a point where I've come across a hero where it's just like, I want to play that person and then pick it up. But, you know, I'll be the first person to say, damn it, I wish I bought it when they take it away. Like, we know that's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
And Val's saying I wish there was a Mac version. I don't know whether they're going to have a Mac version. It's Windows only now.
Yeah. But, I hope they do. I mean, it opens it up to a whole new group of people, right? So I always want a game to do well enough to be on multiple platforms. But and the chat room's asking if I played any D3 during my time off, and no, I didn't. I don't know what it is. I don't know why. I went through and beat Act 5. Mm-hmm. But I feel like, with the exception of people who are really hardcore about it anyway... people are gravitating towards other things. Like, I have people who've gone back to Hearthstone, and I've played some Hearthstone with them. I mean, like I said, I went back into WoW and, you know, got back in with... Not that I was ever out of my guild, but, you know, like, you just get in the headspace or out of the headspace, and, you know, like, people know... Like, you see the same names in the tavern all the time and stuff like that, so... And I hadn't been doing raiding either. Like, I dropped right off my raid team. So I feel like... I got back into those headspaces, and the only people that are still playing Diablo, at least on my friends list, are the people with like 150 Paragon levels. And that's awesome, but I feel very underpowered when I play with them, and it's not as much fun. Like, I feel like I missed the window because it took me so long to beat Act 5 and to get a character up that high. Because I didn't have one from previously. Mm-hmm. I feel like I really just missed the boat on that. Like, I feel like the last probably 6 or 8 months has been like the Jocelyn misses the boat era. Like, oh, I mean, no. I missed Animal Crossing. I missed like Mario Golf.
You're not missing Mario Golf. I wish you had told me that you picked it up, because did you say you missed E3?
I missed D3, really. Like,
oh,
I mean,
D3. I was going to say E3 is next D3. Week. D3, I feel that way too. I feel like I've been listening to the Diablo show and just thinking like, man, it has been a while since I played Diablo.
I'm listening to the Diablo show too, and I find that even that is above my head.
Yeah, there's a lot.
Scott
of, like,
is really good about explaining stuff, but it's not even so much stat stuff. It's just like even talking about the things that they're doing, or the, you know, mats, or the, oh, I went and farmed blood stones or whatever they are, and I'm just like, I don't know where to go to get that. I don't know why I would need to do it. I don't know anything that they're even talking about. And I did try, we did adventure modes, but we haven't done rifts, or we did a rift.
I think we're probably around the same level, so we should certainly jump back in and do some adventure mode, because I was just thinking, I have like a Diablo mouse pad at work, and I was kind of looking at it, it's like, it has been a while since I played Diablo, and we were having so much fun with it. I think it was sort of on par with the, you know, Smite, and there's just so many games now that we're playing multiplayer.
I think I just really found a niche in Smite, in that, like, I love it. It feeds my urge to PvP. I have a lot of friends that are in it and playing now. So, I mean, I feel like I'm constantly improving in Smite, and I don't feel that way in a lot of other games. I feel like I have a base skill as a gamer, mm-hmm. and if anyone watched us play Mass Effect last night, you know that that's not exactly high.
We did fine, except for when someone said, "You guys should do gold." Okay.
We should not do gold.
I died so, most of the time, so...
I'm pretty much, like, I would say I'm an average skilled gamer, and if mm-hmm. I really put my mind to something like Hearthstone, but the difference with Hearthstone, no twitchiness. You have 2.5 minutes to figure out what you're going to do. That's a ton of time in video games, so I feel like it's the twitchiness and coordination and stuff that, like, I'm fairly average. Mm-hmm. So I find there's not a lot of games that I actually feel like I'm getting better and better and better, and I'm becoming competitive and I'm figuring things out, and you know, so I think that's why I love Smite so much. Mm-hmm. Diablo, I just get overwhelmed, and it's just like there are so many different options of skill combinations and gear combinations, and you can even like unlock your bar so you can put, you know, any combination of four spells instead of even keeping the spells in their category, sort of thing. And I'm just like, oh my god, like, I'm never going to catch up. I'm never going to figure this out. You know, people have hundreds of Paragon levels past what I have because I have zero. And I'm starting to get the feeling in Diablo that I had in WoW, and that I have when I'm watching people play Heroes. I watched Garrett and Dills play Heroes after Into the Nexus last night. And, like, I'm watching them play, and I'm just like, I don't get, like, they're clicking so fast. And I'm just like, even if I ever get into this game, I'm just going to be so far behind that there's no point in me even playing. And I don't feel like that with Smite. There's a whole lot of things that help you in Smite mm-hmm. so that you don't have to worry about it, and you can just worry about the Twitch gameplay. And then once you get the twitchiness down, then you can move on to figuring out your item builds and figuring out, you know, what you should buy when and what counters what. And that whole level of complexity of the game, you can be competitive without it. Yeah. So I just, that's why I like Smite so much.
The auto buy is fantastic. And anybody who tells you don't use the auto buy, that's just mean. That's like telling us to play gold in Mass Effect 3 after watching us crash and burn elegantly, as Josh puts it, mm-hmm. on silver. I will never be the person who turns off auto buy. I'm like, you know what, guys? I'm having fun. I know that I could be elite if I turned it off and learned how to buy items on my own, but
I found I was wasting a lot of time. I fell behind when I turned auto buy off, and I knew what I was going to buy, but even just the action of like not being able to just like run in, let the auto buy go and run out again, like having to open the store and scroll for stuff and look for stuff, like I fell behind in XP because I wasn't out fighting. With auto buy, you can just run back to the store and run out again, and there's like no waiting. It's just boom, 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 back into the fight.
I think that's what really makes auto buy a key feature for players like us, is that it, you know, I don't have to worry about that. All I have to worry about is when do I pop a certain skill to kill the other team? You mm-hmm. know, I love that. And I think that's the only reason why I've actually considered purchasing and putting money into this game. Mm-hmm. Remember when we were installing it, I was like, yeah, we should try this game called Smite. It might be stupid.
Yeah, what is this?
You know, and then we're playing and it's like, oh my god, this could be the next Mass Effect 3 for us. And I think it really has turned it into the next Mass Effect 3.
Absolutely. For me, anyway. I know, like, I'm playing it so much, and I'm like, every single time I log in, I'm like, where are my friends? I want to play. Where are my friends? Come on, log in. Let's go. Man, then I'm like, it's like 10 o'clock my time, which is Atlantic time, which is one time zone past Eastern. Yeah. So 1 hour earlier than Eastern. So it's like 10 o'clock my time. It's like 6 a.m. Pacific. And I'm literally sitting there going, where's everybody? Why aren't they playing Smite with me? What's going on?
Well, you know what?
I need some European friends.
What we need to do is we need to start a Smite group me. And then you can just be like, where the... are you guys? Let's go. And then
wake up. I need to explode things. Yeah. Oh, I tried Zeus. Oh, he's so much fun.
Zeus is good.
And actually, I just, before we move on, because I know we do have a topic this week which is tied to Smite, and you know, you have stuff that you played that you might want to talk about.
I've had 2 weeks to talk about my Nintendo crap. I mean, if anything, it's true. Like, you know, I've had my time in the chair. We are going to talk about Smite for our topic, but I've had a pretty quiet week, so.
But yeah, so before we get into that, I did just want to say, I just got a tweet from excuse me, the guy who runs New Braid Night, and I was talking about it when I was on Azeroth Roundtable right before I got really sick. I was kind of sick, but it's an audio-only show, so I was kind of like, yeah, whatever, even if I look like crap, and, you know, I can just mute myself and cough, and no one will know. But I was really hopped up on cough medicine, and he's like, I was just listening to Azeroth Roundtable, and, you know, your New Braid comments really made me rethink how we do some stuff, and I'm like, oh, shit, what did I say? So... I just wanted to say that New Braid Night was really, really fun. Mm-hmm. I found I got intimidated because I was healing and I was third of healing, but like I didn't know anything about my priest. It was a newly boosted character, which was kind of the whole idea behind New Braid Night. And so it was a new character. It was a new role because I was DPS because my main is a hunter. And so I just felt like I wasn't contributing enough to the group, and no one else that was healing was a priest, or at least a priest. I'm a holy priest, so I'm like full on all the way heals. Like I don't do any damage. And I think there was a shadow priest in the group at the time. So I didn't feel like there was any opportunities to really learn, and I didn't feel like I was contributing. I felt like I was kind of bringing it down more than anything else because like, I felt like, or like the druids who were the other ones doing the healing were up at like 250k heals and I was at like 100 and I'm like, I feel like I'm bringing everyone down. Like the boss is getting so much harder because we were playing flex and so I'm a body, it's counting me in the fight against the boss. And here I am just being like, do heal, do heal.
I think if you were third in heals,
really doing anything.
As long as you weren't behind like the hunter, I think you're good. Like, it's been a while since I've actually raided or played WoW yeah. in any sort of fashion besides questing. But yeah, I don't know. I found dungeons and raids were probably the most fun you could have in that game because you were just mindlessly going through the story.
I did enjoy it. And then I feel like there was one night, I think it was the last night that I played, and I got a really good drop. And I know that people are like, your loot is individual. It's not like I took it from anybody, but I didn't feel like I earned it. And then I was just like, okay, I need to like take some time, figure out my character or whatever. And then so I got another add-on and I did a lot of reading, but then I was just like, this is really overwhelming and I feel like I'm going to get in there and I'm not going to do well. And there's no way for me to practice outside of New Braid Night because like, when you do a raid, you have like 20 people in a group and you can't really recreate that in any way. I know there's proving grounds, but it's not quite the same. So, I felt like there was no real avenue to practice healing a raid. And I didn't really want to just jump in and like waste people's time or take their gear or make their fight harder and all the rest of it. So, I really want to do it, but it's also really late at night for me. They start at midnight on Saturdays. So I'm going to try to get back into it again. But, so if anything I said on, the Azeroth Roundtable was in any way taken in a wrong way or offensive or anything, please don't. I love New Braid. Everyone in it was really, really helpful. There was no one yelling at me, which is nice. It was just all my own stuff, I'm sure, my own feelings and my own things I was taking away from it. But yeah, so I potentially apologize for what I said on Azeroth Roundtable. New Braid Night with AIE is awesome. I need more like one-on-one training, I think, before I jump back into it again.
So New Braid Night is with AIE and Azeroth Roundtable is azerothroundtable.com. Do we know the website?
No.
If you're going to plug them, you might as well give them a plug.
That's horrible. I'm sorry. I'm going to have to look it up.
We'll Google it and we'll let everybody know. But you've been on that podcast a couple times. That's sort of been your WoW outlet in the past, correct?
It has been, and it is azerothroundtable.com, and it's Ben and John who normally host it, and they are fantastic. They are really well-spoken, and they are steeped in the game and the lore. I mean, I think Ben does 3 WoW podcasts. Like, it's just, they're really fun to talk to, and they really get the game, and they're up on all the current issues, and it's just really fun to talk to them about everything from, you know, the books to the game to what's in the news and the kind of like the last time I was on was right when that, which is another thing I hope I didn't offend anyone because, again, on Crazy Cough Syrup, can't even remember what I said. And we were talking about the comments about Blizzard not hiring enough women and if like women feel discriminated against in the game.
Do they have an issue where they're not hiring enough women? Where'd that come from?
Oh, there was a whole quite biased actually article written that took a lot of comments kind of piecemeal and a little bit out of context, and basically what Blizzard said was like, don't be looking to our games for social commentary. Like, we make fun games, and so if that's what you're looking for, look somewhere else. And I don't think putting it like gaming and entertainment above social commentary, like, it's just a game. Do we have to have social commentary everywhere? Like, I don't feel discriminated against. I like my Hot Blood Elf.
A lot of people like Hot Blood Elves.
True.
Throw that out there.
I had a whole avatar commissioned of her. She's awesome.
I saw it. Anyway. It looks great. Check out your, it's your Twitter avatar, right?
It is my Twitter avatar. It's also my Twitch avatar. It was done by the fantastic Noxychu, who is a WoWhead artist. And she does BlizzCon badges. And so she drew my Blood Elf. She is a Blood Elf. But when I guess, roleplay my character, I have a very, very intense attachment to my Blood Elf Hunter. Okay. And so when I play her like I would play her. Like, I was really torn up when we had to, like, go in and kill Dragonhawks. It's like the very first quest that you do as a Blood Elf, and they tell you to like go get a pet, and you have a pet Dragonhawk, and then they're like, oh, all these ones over here are corrupted, go kill them. And I'm like, no. So anyways, very quickly the whole lore behind Blood Elves is that Arthas and the Scourge came and destroyed the home of the High Elves, which is Silvermoon. And basically the ones that rose out of that are the Blood Elves because they're after vengeance. But they also do this whole like absorbing magic. They're like magic vampire things. But I am a Blood Elf hunter. So I like to think of my character as never messing with the evil dark forces of fel magic and instead being a natural hunter with a bow and arrow who still has her very, very pretty blue eyes like mine. So she drew me with blue eyes, and now everyone's like, oh my god, you're all Alliance. I'm like, no, I'm not.
Oh. <really?
laughs> I just made myself a different backstory. Screw off for the Horde and junk.
Well, that's cool. Now, okay, the BlizzCon badge is like, is it like a thing that goes inside your badge when you go to BlizzCon, or how's that work?
It's like you can wear it on the same lanyard as the BlizzCon badge, and then so it's like a... It's like a here is me as my WoW character. If people generally know you as more like your in-game name than your in-game character, so it's kind of like an icebreaker.
Cool.
So
that's awesome.
And she does an awesome job. And I think her badge is sold out within 4 days of BlizzCon tickets being put on sale. So I mean, like, she's very high demand. I've known since last year that I wanted to go to BlizzCon, and I knew that when I went to BlizzCon, I wanted her to do my badge. So I was like, literally, like, BlizzCon ticket and then badge. And I was like, refreshing. I was like, get all my info in. Come on, go.
Wait, so like, she's booked up from now until October?
Yep.
That's crazy. That's awesome for her. I mean,
it is, yeah.
That's great.
Yeah, she's so nice and so professional to work with and just such a good, nice, honest person. Like, I have never had a better experience with any kind of like online transaction or commission or anything like that. Like, she was just fantastic. With the exception of Joel, because I have commissioned Joel to do a couple things for me, so I don't want to think that anyone to think that dealing with Joel is bad. But I was so impressed with them and the way that they deal with the volume of work and all the rest of it. Like, and like, I was in the chat room while she was drawing, and I was like, oh, do you think you could blah, blah, blah? Or, like, I know you already sent me the sketch, but how about this? And she was just like, oh, yeah, sure. Like, no problem. That's just a color thing or whatever. And I was just like, oh, she's just so open to chatting with her clients and all the rest of it. Like, oh, just awesome.
Great.
Very, very cool.
Yeah. Cool.
I'm done my stuff now if you want to talk
good?
About your stuff.
It's funny.
I think I'm good. I feel like I just got, like, 2 weeks worth of gaming stuff off my chest.
She's just like, ugh. I'm spent.
And I'm spent.
It's funny, pre-show, we were like, we might not go the whole hour. We'll see how I do. So it'd be like a test, and then like Jocelyn just explodes all of the gaming. which is fine, because, I mean, it's funny. Like, I feel like we haven't really talked in the last 2 weeks because of what's been going on. So, minus the smite, you know, occasional, I was muted, but I was screaming and then coughing, so it's probably good I was muted. But, I have had a very quiet week in preparation for, E3 and just playing Mario Kart and work and podcasting and stuff. But Mario Kart, still fantastic. Still a game that people who don't own a Wii U should contemplate getting a Wii U. It's certainly a much harder decision to make now that there's this game out there that is being praised on all accounts. And it doesn't help that this Luigi Death Stare meme, have you seen any of that?
Oh my god, I have seen that. That is the most awesome thing of life.
It's, you know, it's a testament to the way Nintendo works. You know, you don't see, you see that in passing when you're actually playing. Chatroom's commenting on Skype breaking. Yeah, Skype broke, guys. Don't worry about
it. Oh, Skype broke?
No, you're fine now. It's just occasionally, I don't know, like sometimes it works fine and other times they'll like disappear and a giant Skype logo comes up. It's like, this segment is brought to you by Skype.
No. They're mad at me for all my lengthy calls.
Yeah, those 9 hours. Yeah, we got a free 9-hour call. They're getting their money's worth on the Gamers Inn tonight. It's a testament to the way Nintendo works with their animations and stuff, because when you're actually playing the game, when you hit somebody, your character will react, but it happens so quickly that you would never even notice it happening. But the way the highlight system works is after you finish a race, it says, hey, do you want to watch your highlight reel? And it goes back and shows you key moments. And I thought like it was all like kind of pre-recorded and similar to the way the Xbox and PS4 do things. But it's totally data-driven. So when you when you view your highlight, you can change parameters for that highlight. So say you noticed in the game that you threw a monster shell at Luigi and you totally got him back for all those death stares you saw. And he went flying and he just went from first to eighth. You could focus on yourself, Luigi, only show big hits, and then you can actually change the length of the clip.
So is that how people are putting together these videos? Because that's one thing that Joel mentioned. He's like, does it actually like do the slowdown thing and everything else? I'm like, no, because then like I'm like, it's a real-time race. So if like you and I were racing and then you did a big, huge hit thing and your whole camera slowed and everything else, I was like, eventually your camera and everything would have to catch up to me. And that's not really fair, because then like it might just go like, and you don't have time to react and you run into a wall just because you made some really super cool shell hit. So I'm like, no, it's got to be something after. So
yeah, it's all post-race. And you are able to sort of control, speed. And you can slow the camera right down and see every movement from, like, the way the shell hits the person or the way, like, Mario's mustache sort of just flaps in the wind. The way it works is that characters react to what's happening. And when you slow it right down, you see your character, after a big hit, kind of look at that person as you pass them and just give them a scowl. And in this case, Luigi's just... he's stone cold. Like, he's sick and tired of being second fiddle. He is dumb.
Yeah, he's ridiculous. And, like, I mean, they are so funny, the ones that I've seen, like, the music that they're put to. And, like, I mean, like, there's one that's, like, he hits Peach with a shell, and it's, like, to 99 problems, and a bitch ain't one. It's like, that's amazing.
No,
it is just, like, death stares. She's, like, flipping over backwards. Like, that's so good.
I'm waiting... my favorite is the one where he hits Toadette, and it's just normal Mario Kart music, and then he'll throw a green shell at Toadette, and she'll go flying, and then as soon as the shell hits, it's, move, bitch, get out of the way. Yeah. And I'm like, I know Nintendo is pretty adverse to, like, adult rap songs, but I'm hoping that they look at this as an opportunity to be a fun, quirky company, and... I don't know if you saw their pre-E3 stuff with the Reginator. No. Very silly, and it's basically, you know, Mega 64, right?
Mega 64, no.
Mega 64 is kind of like a comedy sketch gaming troupe, and they...
Oh, okay, no.
Okay, well, they did the pre-Nintendo, or pre-E3 Nintendo stuff, and basically what they did is there's... You know who Reggie is, right?
No.
Oh, God. Okay. Well, he's the big...
I don't normally watch their press stuff. Play the freaking games.
Exactly. Like. But anyways, he's a giant guy, and I guess they turned him into the Reginator. They basically, the sketches, they built a robot that was this guy, and he went in, and it was very tongue-in-cheek and goofy. So I'm hoping that Nintendo takes advantage of this Luigi Death Stare to have some fun with it.
It's so much free publicity, and like I know Mario Kart's been like getting a ton of airtime, and everyone's talking about it, everybody loves it, and you know it's really what the Wii U needed. So I think that they should just like whatever the hell fans want to do, let them do it. Like, yeah. Come on.
Well, I mean, the mere fact that they have this highlight system in there, it's probably one of the most non-Nintendo features that is amazing, because I can view these clips, cater them to what I want to see, and then export to YouTube. Like, I can send these things to YouTube.
Oh, so that's how they're doing it. I figured they had some like weird, I don't know, capture video card system set up or something. Like, you know, they had to really want to do it. But it's good that Nintendo is just, like, letting you do things easily. Yeah. They didn't used to do that. I remember trying to add you as a friend on the Wii, and it was, like, pulling freaking teeth.
No, it was like entering a 16-digit code. I mean, which I'd rather get teeth pulled in that sense. But, to be honest, most of the fun Luigi Death Stare GIFs and YouTube videos are filmed off screen, because you can actually cater your video to like have slow-mo and, speed up and stuff in the export, but that's just how you look at the highlights. So what they're doing is they're slowing it down and like doing an off camera thing.
Right.
So they are putting a little bit of effort into it, but the fact that I can share some cool moments where I've had a blue shell hit somebody in first and allow me to cross the line and get, you know, win the cup or something, which is a cool moment. I can share that. But what I'm really hoping is that Nintendo sees the success of this and says, we got to do this for every game. I mean, it's an example of, I said this last week, but it's an example of Nintendo looking at what the other companies are doing and acting on it in their own way. You know, they're not doing a stream to Twitch or whatever, but they're allowing you to export highlights, which in my mind is a lot more entertaining than exporting a giant 2-hour let's play video. I'd rather watch 30 seconds of fun than 2 hours of racing, you know.
I thought of that that last time, because basically what happened is I had been streaming, we did Gamers In, and then we started streaming Diablo right after, and I didn't realize, I thought that the Diablo file was the Gamers In file. So I was uploading it, it was taking forever, and then finally when it got all uploaded to YouTube, I realized it was literally 4.5 hours of us playing Diablo, and I was just like, oh my god, who's going to watch this? Like, 4 hours is so much.
Yeah, and people really doing anything. I mean,
well, yeah, like...
it's one thing to sit there and watch and interact with the hosts as they're playing and having that conversation and engaging. It's another thing to throw up a 4-hour video. I mean, I understand, like, you know, throwing up the video and watching like a 1-hour quick look of a game you've never played before. But I've never been one to sit down and watch let's play videos and kind of experience a game that way. But with the Wii, a lot of people are looking at E3 and thinking like, okay, Nintendo, this is your shot. You have me on the hook. Like Mario Kart 8, that deal, that bundle is very satisfying. Sink it, you know, like put it to the goal.
I'm still on the fence. I'm still like, maybe I should just like work some overtime or, you know, something.
Just wait. Like, I mean,
just
I think
to get that, it, like a few hours overtime, I could probably pick that up. So,
yeah. I mean, E3 is literally by Tuesday afternoon, you'll know whether, you know, waiting is the smartest decision you've ever made, because they could totally bomb it. Like, they could do here's a Donkey Kong game, you know, like. They're not going to release
some of us like Donkey Kong games.
I like Donkey Kong, don't get me wrong, but I'm just saying, like, that's not the game that they need to hook everybody, you know? They need another Mario Kart. They, you know, something along those lines that people are going to really dig, and I don't...
True.
I think maybe they're going to try to do it with the the NFC figures. I think we touched on this last night. I think they're going to be like, you can play the Nintendo Skylanders game, and you can buy all these figurines, and that's going to be their summer hook.
Yeah.
Because there's nothing. Like, Smash is in the winter, and that's like 8 months away. So it's a barren wasteland for the Wii U.
Which is pretty much, I was going to say, that's been like the state of the game for a while for the Wii U.
That's why they have to nail it, because there's all these people looking at these Luigi Death Stare videos and thinking, I want to create my own Luigi Death Stare videos.
But see, by the time I go and get a freaking Wii U, you and I will go to play, and then you'll be like, oh, you know, I just, no. I'm way over that Mario whole Mario Kart so thing. Good. I just, you know, thanks for finally getting it, Jocelyn, but you're about 2 months too late.
See, that's the beauty of the Wii U, is that you'll never be 2 months too late, because there'll be no games out. Mario Kart will still be the thing. I mean, I really do believe that Mario Kart is... There's a reason they only release one of those a year, or one of those a system. It's because they just put so much time and effort into them. I'll still be playing it. I'm still having fun, even though Peach is kind of an asshole. She's I've missed the Golden Cup on 150cc so many times because of her and her skills with the green shells. It's killing me.
So why don't you just play her, and then you can't be Peach racing against Peach, so you should win.
There's so many versions of Peach. Like, there's Peach, there's Gold Peach, there's like Baby Peach.
Isn't Gold Peach, she has a name.
She's Pink Gold Peach or something.
Oh, I thought you meant like, isn't there like a princess for Luigi, and she wears like a yellow dress and has brown hair?
Yes, sexist Jocelyn, there's a Peach for Luigi. Like, come on.
What do you mean,
she sexist has a Jocelyn? Name.
Mario goes with Peach. Luigi has a chick. Hey, she is...
maybe Peach and Daisy, they have their own...
Daisy, thank
the,
you!
Mario Kingdom, you know?
Maybe, you had to
they're
say.
Independent women, you know? Stop pairing them up, Jocelyn. Come on.
They're always paired up.
Actually, the canon of the Mario movie had Daisy and you're right, Daisy and Luigi.
Oh, I'm right?
Yeah,
what?
You're right. But based on a movie that, you know, Nintendo kind of just...
Tariff says Geech.
Geech? Yeah, Geech is the Wario Peach. Just, she has a mustache, she farts a lot.
Sure, it's not like a War Peach. What Peach? What Peach?
Okay, like if M... is if W is the opposite of M, what's the opposite of P? Maybe J? I mean, if you flip it, B?
Oh, yeah, if you like flip it.
So what do we call her? Beach?
Beaches?
That's a little too close to another B word that we don't want to say.
Oh, Peach, you're such a beach.
Oh my god, Nintendo, are you listening? You want that mature game? You just got it.
Done.
Anyways, that's probably enough Nintendo talk. I'm looking forward to next week. It's either going to bomb or they're going to knock it out of the park. I just want to see baseball analogy people.
They'll be good.
You have faith. You have faith that they will be good. She's shaking her head. For those on the audio podcast, everyone on the audio podcast is like, whoa, Jocelyn's a real convert. And everyone watching the video
I just like getting Ryan's hopes up.
Why? I have no stake in this company. I'm just having fun. If I had stake in the company, then I'd be like, please buy our stuff. I don't care. I have fun either way. But yeah, Beach. Nobody likes her.
No one.
But that's all I've been playing. Just Mario Kart.
That's all I've been playing too. Well, we've officially been talking for like an hour and a half.
Yeah. Maybe we save this lovely email for next week.
We should, because I want to give it its due, and I actually haven't watched the YouTube video that's tied to it, so I think we should leave it for next week, because we are running a little long, and I can feel my throat starting to give out, which is fun times. So I think we should leave it for next week, and really, before we go, we should mention that we do appreciate your continued support of our show, along with the support of our sponsor, who is Doghouse Systems. You can use the code TheGamersIn to double your RAM when you purchase a new gaming rig. Head on over to DoghouseSystems.com and get your order on. So, as we mentioned, we did have some feedback from Nick, which we'll get to next week, but we also have an email from Joel Duggan. Ryan, do you want to take it away?
So we talked about the Luigi Death Stare, and Joel had a bit of an opposite for us. It's not quite as cold and chilling, but Sketch Dailies is a Twitter account that sort of puts a challenge out there to artists. And today was Mario. So if you go on Twitter and search the hashtag Mario and Sketch _ Dailies, there's some really cool stuff. I'll actually put the link in the... Well, Jocelyn threw it in, but we'll have it in the notes. And there's just really cool stuff here. Some are, you know, a little disturbing.
I really enjoy Sketch Dailies. I like following the hashtag. There's some really cool stuff. But at the same time, like, it is Twitter. It is open to everyone. It is open to, you know, all skill levels and all... let's call them humor persuasions. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, there are some things that I do not find funny. There are some things I find quite offensive in some cases. And then there's the other ones who are really, really funny or really, really well drawn. So it is hit and miss, but it's definitely worth checking out.
No nudity in the front page. So, yeah, that's a win.
That is a win.
Mm-hmm. Especially when it involves Mario.
Yeah.
So you're good if you're looking at them with your kid or something. They're all pretty tame, but no, really cool. It's really cool to see Mario, because you don't get to see him drawn in, like, other than the three or four ways Nintendo does it. And
yeah,
it's nice to see some creativity applied to a character that really hasn't changed in the last 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
So cool.
Yeah, very cool. So you guys should all go and check that out. So thanks very much for sending that in, Joel. And I think that pretty much does it for this week. We did want to thank Michael Watson, who is our patron this week. I didn't just thank the same guy from last week, did I?
No,
not that that would be a bad thing, because we love all our patrons. Oh, good.
Took care.
At least one of us is doing their job. So thank you very much, Michael, for being a patron of the Gamers Inn. If you would like to be a patron, that will get you a mention on the show, as well as first access to us when we play Gamers Inn Game Night. You'll get to vote on the game and you'll get the first invites. So if you want to do that, you can go to patreon.com/thegamersinn. Mm-hmm. And I believe that it's our $5 level that lets them join us for game night. Am I right?
Yeah, priority invite. Of course, if nobody else is around, you're welcome to jump in. But it's usually pretty crowded. Our game nights, now that we've been going on schedule,
yep,
have been, you know, slots fill up quick. And it's usually, mm-hmm, the $5 patron people.
Yeah, you know, and that's been, we've been doing it for, what, about 5 or 6 weeks now, religiously, mm-hmm, on Thursdays. And that was actually our very first milestone goal, was $50 a month. And that guarantees that we do game night every Thursday night. So... Yeah. Most of the time it's both of us, but sometimes for usually work-related reasons, one of us can't make it, but we're always running a game night on Thursday nights now. So either one or both of us will be there, and we have a blast. We're supposed to do it for 2 hours, but let's face it, 9 times out of 10, we go for 3, 3.5.
Yeah.
You know, we really push it sometimes.
And you can vote for the game we're going to play.
So you can.
If you want us to play Diablo next week, you can certainly chime in the way we usually do it is we put it to Patreon. So, and we'll post the links too. But I think I was told by James that everybody gets an email anyways.
They do, yeah.
So you get a notification. And if you haven't become a patron yet and want to, our next goal is a new website, which is pretty fantastic.
Yeah, we've been working on it for a long time in terms of we got some help with the graphics. Again, and that's Joel who's been helping us out with that. Mm-hmm. We've commissioned him to do some graphic design for us. And then we've got Ryan doing all the coding stuff. And, you know, I've been helping in ways, doing things, yeah. Making decisions mostly, directing them on what to do. It's really it's the best role.
Like supervising, you know,
exactly.
Like, this looks good here. We would love this little thing to be doing this.
Yep.
And but no, it's a team effort. And, you know, it's certainly something we're working on in the background. But having that Patreon as a milestone, you know, ensures that it becomes our focus and gets put out there as soon as possible and allows us to, you know, actually pay Joel.
Well, there's that.
Yeah.
People generally like to get paid for their work. It's kind of weird. I don't know.
We told them we'd play Smite
hippies
with them or something, and we own that. But no, yep. Joel's a fantastic artist, and he's done a lot of work for not only the Gamers Inn, but a couple other shows that, that I'm on, and he does really good work.
Yep, he does, which is why we're using him for our new website. If you would like to visit us at that website, you can do so by going to gamersinpodcast.com. You can also find us on Amove TV, along with the other fabulous podcasts that include Into the Nexus, Campaign Roundtable, Biggest Fan, The Angry Chicken, and Amove Radio. You can follow us on Twitter. You can find me, Jocelyn, at GIS Gamer. Ryan is at R. Murphy. And don't forget to follow the show at The Gamers Inn. The video versions of all our episodes can be found on our YouTube channel, which is youtube.com/JocelynMoffitt. You can also find us on Facebook and Google+. If you'd like to email the show, you can do so at info@gamersinpodcast.com and let us know what you've been doing for the last 2 weeks. Before we go, I just wanted to give a quick shout out and thank you to Greg Moffitt for creating our music. You can find him on Twitter at SoundsInfluence. We'd also like to thank Joel Duggan, who does all of our graphic work. You can find him and everything he does at joelduggan.com. So thanks for staying at the Gamers Inn, and remember, tune in next week. Bye, guys. Thanks for having me back.
You make it sound like we weren't going to have you back.
Oh, you never know. You're kind of a dick.
Yeah, I'm a dick. Bye, everybody.